Hi, docs. Welcome to the EntreMD podcast, where it is all about helping amazing physicians just like you embrace entrepreneurship so you can have the freedom to live life and practice medicine on your terms. I'm your host, Dr. Una. Well, hello, hello, docs. Welcome to another episode of the EntreMD podcast. Now, you guys know I'm always super excited to do these episodes, but today I'm unusually excited because I have a really great guest here. So as you guys know, my first business is Ivy League Pediatrics, a pediatric practice in Georgia. And I have Ms. Fatima Sparks, who is our practice administrator here. A lot of you have asked questions about hiring, getting the right people on board. You've talked about how HR is your biggest challenge. And she is a genius when it comes to this. So when we first started working together, one of our biggest projects was up-leveling our team. And, you know, I think we've done a really good job. I think we have the best team that we have ever had before. And we are going to be unlocking some of the strategies and tips and tricks and all of that stuff that, you know, she did to make that happen. So let's enjoy this episode. So welcome to the show, Ms. Fatima.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate this opportunity. I love the topic that we're going to go over, and I'm very excited about it.
I know you love the topic.
I know. You know me. I've been in management for 25 years. I've been in the medical field for about 19 years. I transitioned from restaurant to medical because I always wanted to be of service to people, and I always was excited to learn more about medicine and health. And so I started off as being a medical assistant, but you never take that management hat off. So I always saw opportunities for improvement all around me. And I shared that with the owning physicians. It was a startup practice. After several years as a medical assistant, they asked me to be their practice administrator. And that's after about four or five series of managers, one manager a year that just wasn't cutting it. So I was excited and nervous. However, I've learned so much, and I transitioned from that practice, which was cardiology, onto gastroenterology, otolaryngology, and then now pediatrics with Dr. Una. And I've really enjoyed working with her. I have a can-do attitude, and she has been a match for me, and I'm trying to be a match for her. She's just, we always are thinking of how, not if. And that's just how I work. And so we're right in alignment in that way. And so I've really enjoyed it. And thanks for having me here, Dr. Una.
I'm so happy to have you here. And you are a great match. Keep trying, but you are a great match. But I'm so glad you shared this story, though, because it resonates with everything we do on the podcast as EntreMDs, where you're going to see opportunities and you're going to feel like, wow, can I do this? And just have the can-do attitude and say yes and embrace it. And you will find yourself in a position where you're like, how did I get here? You know, so your story is a really impressive story. And I've heard it before, but each time I hear it, I'm like, oh my gosh, that is so cool. But anyway, everybody's going like, tell me about the hiring, you know. So let's look at this, right? So for you, what is the very first step in the hiring process? So you're like, okay, I need to hire, whatever. Like, what's the very first step?
So the first thing is I'm typically not just looking to hire out of the blue. There's an indicator for me, some kind of external indicator. So basically someone has turned in a 2-week notice, or business is going so well that the systems are in place, but we just need an extra pair of hands. So there's some sort of prompt that makes me think I need to hire. But again, it makes me think I need to hire. I need to test that bringing on a new employee onto the payroll is a very large expense, and you want that expense to really be an investment. So the first thing I do is to assess and verify that need to hire. And I do that through a SWOT analysis of the organization, of the department, of each individual. I take as much data in as I can to tell me for sure. And I question our systems that we have in place just to kind of verify, is it true? Do we really need to hire?
Oh, wow. So body saying I'm leaving doesn't automatically mean I need to replace them. Like I need to go into some research to see, well, hey, you know. Okay, so some of my listeners may not know what a SWOT analysis is. So can you unpack that a little bit?
Yeah, so I think it can be interpreted many different ways because there's, I've watched videos and read about it and there's different versions of it, but it's strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. When I consider it, I don't look at it the way maybe most people do where they list all the strengths, they list all the weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And I think it's because I'm looking at that all the time. That's just something that I should be considering in my daily work. And it should be done, if I'm not considering it daily, at least some sort of schedule for it. So weekly, monthly, quarterly, and it has to be done annually. So I am always abreast of where I stand. So some of the strengths for your organization may be customer service. It could be speed. It could be your brand is very strong. Some of your weaknesses could be those very same things, that your brand is weak, that your things don't flow as well, that you have poor customer service. And then some threats and opportunities. Most people consider threats and opportunities are external. So basically opportunities as in how to broaden your demographic, your reach, that would be an opportunity. And maybe a threat is having increased competition in your area or something changing in society that creates, you know, a less of a flow for your customers to come in or need for your product. So any kind of thing like that would be considered a threat.
So like what we have at the time of this recording with the COVID pandemic going on and stuff like
that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So what's the connection? So when you do the SWOT analysis, that how does that help you define if you need somebody and what kind of person you need? Like, how does that help with this process?
So what happens is all that data, and like, you know, Dr. Una, I love data. So all that data, be it patient surveys and feedback, your employees' feedback, your revenue, is it up? Is it down? Is it down in a certain area? How many customers you're seeing? How long it takes? All that data, if you pull it all together, it paints a picture. You would compare that to what your goals are, where you're trying to go, how you want your future to look, and see, are you in alignment, and what players and what systems play into your strengths, and which ones play into your weaknesses. And that new hire needs to be able to contribute to those strengths and support or actually be the answer to your weaknesses.
You're looking at a holistic picture, not just the tactic of I need a new hire. You're looking at the whole picture of the business, where the business is going, where we're strong, where we're weak. And whoever we bring on should be an asset that helps us accomplish what we're trying to accomplish. So hashtag don't just go on and Indeed get a warm body and put them in a seat. Don't do that.
Exactly. And don't just assume that whomever is leaving that particular role or that person, for example, their work style, you might really appreciate their contribution, but it doesn't mean that that is what you need to bring in. There could be an underling, someone that they've coached that needs to take on that role that already understands and can, there won't really be a slowdown or any loss of effectiveness while you bring on someone maybe in a lesser role. There's less risk there as well, and things can keep going. And that's an opportunity also that you promoted someone from within. That's always helps you to retain your employees.
So that way you can repurpose somebody that's already in the business and level them to that role. That's okay. Okay. We got that. All right. So let's say, you know, someone's done the SWOT analysis. They've done all that. They've said, yes, I do need to hire. And how do they attract the right people? Right. Because I think you've had times where maybe you've put on Indeed and 300 resumes came through and maybe two of them matched what you were looking for, right? So what do you do to attract the right people?
Well, one thing, and this is something I've done recently is I take a skill that is the most unique skill of that role and say that and lead with that. So I may not be looking for someone to necessarily, you know, I'm looking for a medical assistant, but not everyone is experienced with vaccine administration for pediatrics. Okay. So I will lead with the most difficult skill or challenging skill. It doesn't mean I'm going to eliminate people without that skill, but the person who never has been in the medical field, they're less likely to try out for that than the ones who have been in the medical field, but they just, and they've administered maybe vaccines, but just not to the pediatric population. So at least I'm narrowing it down, but any kind of way that you can place the ad or promote the position that's unique to that vision that you now have through your SWOT analysis, using those keywords, that helps eliminate people that you don't want.
So no cookie cutter, copy and paste type ads.
Oh, no.
We should be thinking this through and we should recognize that it's our first point for elimination, right? The elimination shouldn't start with the actual interview. It should start with what you put out there.
Right, because your time is valuable. You don't need to do that administrative task of sifting through all these applicants when you could have done filtered through that just by the way your wording of the ad. Also, I have at least three questions that I'll ask after they, you know, that's the next step. So they'll ask those questions. And sometimes on Indeed, even though maybe non-qualified people may respond, they can't get past the questions typically. So that's the next level. So you can just keep filtering. And then the people who are in front of you are actually viable candidates worth your time.
So for your first step, you put the more difficult stuff in the ad. You lead with that on the ad. So mm-hmm. Some people are like, I don't have time for that, right? And then The second step is they have the follow-up questions, which I'm sure a lot of them don't even bother answering, right? That has been my experience, right? Yeah. So A number of them are like, I'm just not about that. You know, so they don't answer that. Do you do anything else to screen before they get to you?
Well, after that, then I call them. So I call and discuss. By the time they answer the questions, I pretty much know that they can do the role. So now I'm trying to know who this person is. So if they seem that they're excited that I called or that they want to know more about the position, how they respond means a lot. And you can just tell how excited they are about the opportunity. And being excited about the opportunity and ambitious, that has to be there. Otherwise, maybe your role is not something unique to them that they find valuable. You're just one of the callers that have responded to them. So,
and we don't want that.
No, definitely not.
And this phone call, is that a screening call or is that the interview?
It's a screening call, but I don't put it to them as an interview. I just ask them, do they have a few minutes to chat? And then I make it as casual as possible, but I still go into even more detail, specifics of what I need, but I make some small talk with them too, so that they can be comfortable because I need to know who this person is. It's very important for me to understand who this person is as a human being and not just as a set of skills.
Awesome. Now, so before we get into the next step, people make this comment of hiring for attitude mm-hmm. as opposed to hiring for skill. I mean, the skill still needs to be there.
Right.
You hire for attitude and you can train for skill. What's your mm-hmm. thought? What's your take on that?
I'm 100% believe in that. You can't train attitude. You cannot train values. So if someone just is not a good character, it's what I say to myself, you can't raise them. That should have already been done. Yeah. And that's just too much to have on your plate. That those things might can change, but we don't have that kind of time. And that's really not what you're not looking for a project.
Right. You're looking for an asset, not a project.
Yes,
I love
exactly.
That. Love that. Okay. So you've done the ad and you weeded off some people and mm-hmm. then you did the three questions and you weeded off some other people. And then you did the screening interview where they're thinking they're chatting, but really you're only using that language and that format to get them to put their guard down long enough so you can tell who they really are, right?
True, exactly.
So what do you do next?
So at that point, if that doesn't go well, I will literally let them know that maybe it's a certain skill or they don't have the level of experience I was looking for, but I leave it positive because I want them, they might be a good candidate in the future. And I don't want them to have a negative view of the practice or of myself. So it doesn't need to be a negative experience, you know, and I wish them luck. So I don't tell them I'm going to call you back. I'm not going to call you back if I know already. And I might even give them suggestions.
That is type so, of can roles. Can I interrupt you? Because that is really so good. Like, even though you're not going to be here, I still want you to have a good impression of my company. I want you to have a good impression of me. I don't know if later you'll be a good match. I don't know if you'll talk to somebody who could be a good match. At the same time, I'm not going to do the easier thing, which is the wrong thing, and say I'll call you back when I know I'm not going to call you back. I mean, that's so good. I love it. Yeah, so I just had to interrupt. That was so good. Go ahead.
So also, I will, from that point, if I think they're a great candidate, I'll go ahead and set up the interview. Well, let me back up. There could be multiple great candidates. So I will, if I think they're a great candidate, I will let them know that I'll be reaching out to them. And I will actually reach out to them, even if, let's say, I have five or six good candidates. I may not want to interview five or six people. I may want to interview three or four. That fifth and sixth one, I'm just going to let them know. I'm going to call them back, but let them know either I'm interviewing, that they're still, you know, I'm still considering them and I do want to check back with them. So I don't want them to go away, but I don't want to take so long that they miss out on opportunity. I need to be thoughtful in that way, but they're still in the running. They're just not in the top of the list. So
got it.
I definitely want to respect their time, but I want them to know I'm interested. And I want to go ahead and go through the top ones as quickly as I can, because it might be that fifth one that's perfect. And I've misidentified those top few. And I learned that they weren't better, you know.
Well, I am sure that you are enjoying this episode of the EntreeMD podcast, but I wanted to take a moment to let you know about EntreeMD Business School. Now, EntreeMD Business School is the business school designed to make up for the business education you did not get in your medical training. So you know you've wanted to start a business, or you have started a business but can't quite figure out how to make it work. This is designed to walk you through a step-by-step process to take your business, even if it's just an idea, from idea to profitable status. And the reason why we do this is because I believe as doctors, we have worked so hard and we have sacrificed for so long that we deserve to develop the financial freedom we need to live life and practice medicine on our own terms. However, you would have noticed that that's not just going to drop in our lap. There is something we need to do. There's a skill we need to develop, and that is business skills. You are literally one skill away from building the business and career of your dreams. So check out EntreeMD Business School. It's a school by doctors for doctors to help us build profitable businesses. It's EntreeMD.com/business. So this is interesting. So you have five great people. Mm-hmm. So this is like, you know, the girl who has five guys who are like,
right,
we all want to get married, right?
So, right.
So how do you pick the one?
The way I pick the one is, and it's very difficult when you have several good hires, because it's hard to find a good hire, or let's say it's challenging. And honestly, I try to see how I can bring them both if there's two. Like, I will think about the future, there, if it's something temporary they can do for experience, the one I'm not picking, because I need to keep a connection with them so I don't have to go through all this filtering process and add again. Now I have a name, I can reach out to them and bring them on board should I have another opportunity open up, or business grows to the point that I just need to grab someone that I feel good about. So the thing is, you have to stay objective. That's why you do your SWOT and you do your vision before you meet the people. There are people that are very charismatic, that went to the same school as you, went, you know, grew up in your neighborhood, you might be prone to lean towards them. No, you have to go with your analysis, that vision, that objective view of who you were looking for. They have to be a match for that.
So hang on, right? Because I was taking notes as you're talking, because I was going to ask, how do you keep the emotion out of it? How, you know, the way you see someone, you're like, I just like them, right? Mm-hmm. I have no reason. They're just great. They'll be great here. I just like them. How do you stay objective? And so you started that off with, you have to go with what your analysis says, which means it's dangerous to start the hiring process without doing the SWOT analysis. Like, it's 100%. Dangerous.
Yes. 100%. If you don't, it's a disservice to yourself. If you're the entrepreneur, if you're the business owner, if you're a manager, it's a disservice to your boss. And it's a disservice to yourself because you have not optimized things and you are working below the level you should be.
Wow. Okay. All right. So you decided this person is the one. Is there anything you do in the actual interview? So not the screening call. She's like, yeah, go for it. What do you do?
So I invite them back. Like, okay, so I've invited them on site. So I invite them back. I'm very friendly. Well, first of all, I like people anyway, so it's not difficult for me, but I try to be extra friendly and a little more animated like you, Dr. Una, because I'm not that bubbly.
So, I learned this bubbly. I'm not that bubbly. Okay. I learned it too.
So because I really want them to be super comfortable, that's when they're going to tell me things that they wouldn't otherwise tell me, because now we're kind of, they just feel warm and cozy with me. And that, but you know, that's where you see where people feel a little too cozy and they tell you things that they probably wouldn't have otherwise said, or some that, you know, they may even express a bad experience that they've had that they weren't going to talk about. And you can assess, is your organization, you know, would they have that same bad experience with your organization? Would they have that same set of challenges? So they look good on paper, but they've now told you a story that you need to keep in mind. So it's all about making sure that they're comfortable. And then I go through different scenarios with them. I specifically love to name a scenario that I'm struggling with, a current struggle.
Give me an example.
Well, one old question I used to ask, a check-in, is, and it's regarding the multitasking and prioritizing. So I will ask them, a line of patients come in, the phone is ringing, the MA is asking you who's next, the doctor is asking you why a patient had to wait so long, and the manager is standing behind you.
Oh, wow.
What do you do?
And wow, Fatima.
Well, I ask that because it's not a position I myself want to be in. I think check-in, they're great. Like, anyone who can sit with all these patients looking at you like you're in a fishbowl. But that person's got to be able to withstand that type of pressure. So even if they kind of answer my question a little wrong, it's the fact that they're not, I can see their wheels turning. Like, okay, I will do this first, I will do this second. And then you get to see who they prioritize. So it doesn't mean that necessarily, you can teach them which one is right or wrong, but it tells you what their values are. Some will say, I'll talk, answer the doctor. So they respond to authority. So that's right. Their number one, not necessarily the patient care or their peers. It's the authority figure. Some will say the patient, we're all here for the patient. So basically whatever their response is, I get to learn more about their values and how they go about making decisions. So that's just one example.
Interviews, you do investigations.
Oh yes. I will say that.
Yeah. That's what it sounds like. Okay. So go ahead. What else will you do at the interview?
I will ask them teamwork questions, which is kind of generic when you go, because everyone says I'm a team player, I'm a people person. So I ask them what scenario or what situation they've been in where they had someone that they work with that was very difficult. So sometimes people don't want to answer that question, but if they do, because they'll say, oh no, I haven't never been in that situation before. But the ones who answer honestly have been in a situation like that. And I listen for what things kind of rub them the wrong way. What, you know, maybe they really like order and the person was all over the place. maybe they really, the person was dramatic and they are just kind of stoic type personality. Maybe the person was set in their ways and they're very flexible. So you can hear what they didn't like. You can hear more about them. You get a better picture of them by knowing their likes and their dislikes and what they value.
That's really good. So your questions are not, because sometimes we do interviews like, I just need to get through these questions, right? But your questions are not really straightforward. They're telling you something that the person doesn't even realize that they're telling you about themselves.
Correct. Because the whole thing is to really understand that person, to really grasp who are you hiring.
That is so good. Okay. Anything else exotic you do during this interview? These are really good pointers.
I like personality tests, and I can't say that I've done it consistently, but at the practice that I was promoted at my first start, I learned about these personality tests, and I gave it out to staff, existing staff, because I said, I need to replicate these people. So I would make that part of the screening process. It doesn't mean I'm going to get that my rock star Angela, for example. I may not get another Angela, but it's going to teach me better about how to filter and how who this person is and what attributes I know that I'm getting that I haven't learned through the interview process. So I'm gonna get to understand them on that level too. So there's some personalities that want autonomy. And so is this role going to give them that? There's some that really like structure and needs to know what's going to come next. Will they know that? Or will they have to roll with the punches? So that kind of just helps me. And it doesn't mean that I'm not going to hire them, but I know what, I kind of have an idea of what the challenges will be,
right,
in developing them and them getting comfortable with the role.
Okay, I'll take it. So it's a lot of personality. Who is this person really? You know, so not just the skill, not just the warm body.
Yeah, okay. And I'll say one thing I left out is, why do they want the position, or why did they get into the field? It can't be monetary. Now, of course, we all need to pay our bills.
Yes.
We all need to pay our bills, but I like to hear a story. I like to hear something that happened in their past that where they knew they wanted to make a difference, because they are here for a reason beyond their paycheck. And that's something I can't give a person. They have to come with that, and they're going to stick around because of that feeling and a need to have a purpose.
I like that, because I was going to ask you, for me, when I interview, there are two things that once they happen, I'm like done with the interview. I may be polite enough to continue, but I'm done. So if your first question out the door is, how much will you pay me? I'm like, we don't need to continue this, because if your driver and your best foot forward is how much are you going to pay me, I probably can't pay you enough. Meaning, whatever happens, if this is your driver, you will always complain. You will always, like, I know it's a disaster, right? And it's not to say money is not important. Money is very important, but money can't be the why. It's a terrible, terrible why, you know?
Yeah, there's all types of compensation and feeling valued, adding to people's lives. There's other, learning a skill, being in an environment where you're going to learn more skills. All of those are ways of being compensated.
Yeah, not just money. The other, you may be different, but you come late for an interview. Yeah, we're done.
I would agree.
I'm just like, this is your best foot forward. And if your best foot forward is, I'm not here on time, it means you will never be here on time. And tardiness is just one of those things that really, I'm like, I'm the boss and I come on time. You don't get to not come on time. You know, so
I agree. And then there's people who show up and they're rude to the person, the reception, and pretty much I probably don't want to talk to them. And I'm like, they're here, I guess I will, but I've pretty much made my decision. That's your future coworker.
Yeah.
And you're already looking down on them and mistreating them.
And this is
them.
Your best behavior.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So tardiness, having money as your why, and being rude to the existing staff are kind of like, you know, that's screening right there. We're done. So now what would you say to the doctor who's like, I'm solo practice. I have one MA, my MA upped and left. I need the abridged version, right? Because I'm in a pinch right now. I need somebody who will help me see my patients starting next week. So what do I do? What would you say to that doctor?
Well, this is the thing. And as you know me, doctor, I don't like surprise. I like things to be ironed out and just, I like to anticipate the need. You should never be in that position. If you can even forecast being in that position, you need to solve it now. And that's why you do your SWOT way before something like that happens. But let's say it's already happened. So without knowing the capacity of the other staff members, I have pulled someone, for example, I'm just going to give you a scenario. I'm making this up, but okay. The people are real, but the situation didn't happen. Because like I said, prevention. But anyway, I would probably take I had a nuclear technologist that could draw blood and do IVs. So that might be a component of what the medical assistant would normally do. Okay, I've got that part. Then I've got someone that's been at check-in for years, but also used to be an MA in the past or has helped out a lot. So they might end up rooming my patient. So I'm going to look at whatever the MA was doing and we're all going to pitch in. I'm going to have that power talk with everyone. We're going to pitch in. We're going to make it happen. We're going to get through it. And like you say, we're going to rah-rah at the end of the day.
Yep.
So I'm still going to, it will be my top priority to find someone quickly because that's just a temporary fix. But again, the prevention is the most important. You can reach out to a temp agency. I don't like my patients to be in the hands of a temporary person.
Yeah.
That I don't, again, just hearing the screening process, just having someone attempt, just walk in and start helping my doctor. That's just not what I want. Even, I don't know if this person may have an office manager. I used to be a medical assistant. So I'm going to go out. I'm going to try to take the blood pressures. Whoever can do whatever, we all need to get our hands on board and get this thing done.
So what that means is you still have to do it right. So figure mm-hmm. out a temporary measure to make sure mm-hmm. your patients are taken care of, but you still have to go through the process.
Yes.
Yeah. So when I asked you that, I didn't remember. I actually did that. There was a time we were short staffed and so I did the hurry hire, right? Get a warm body. They came for the interview. Yeah. I like them. It was awful. I think, two or three, the version of you hired somebody and they went for lunch and never came back, like that version of bad hires.
Wow.
So by the time we did two or three of them, I had a front desk and an MA and then me. So this was years ago. So I called them into a meeting. I said, listen to me. You've seen me try to fill this place quickly. And you see that it doesn't work. This process takes time. Now, I have one front desk and one MA, which means please do not tell me you need a day off. Don't tell me you need vacation. In fact, don't get sick, okay? You guys give me 4 weeks. Let me do this right. And I'll bring somebody who will be a longstanding member of the team and then we'll be good. And you know I'm good for my word. You can have the time off and everything after that. I need let's do this. So when you said that, I was like, wait a minute, I did that, once upon a time. And like, don't ask me for time. Don't tell me, figure it out, figure your kids out, figure everything out. We're in this together, but let's do it right. And when you're absolutely right, find a temporary fix and then do it properly.
But the thing that wouldn't work is if the people you're speaking to just weren't willing. So you had the platform there to be able to do that. So this SWOT and this analysis of your strengths and weaknesses, threats and opportunities, you have to be already doing that, or you can't even pull off the examples that you and I just gave.
Right. All right. So work from the beginning. So this has been so helpful. So helpful because it's a hard point, for a lot of practices and applying these same principles. I think in the last year, we've had the strongest team. We've had the lowest turnover and we don't have drama. And this is all in the middle of a pandemic, right? And it's been great. It's been really great. So what is one thing you would leave my listeners with? Like, what is the one thing? You said all these things. What's the one thing you'll leave them with?
I'd like to leave them with the idea that the one is out there.
Yes.
Maybe you've kissed many frogs. You didn't really have to if you did your filtering and screening process, and always have that list of names. Always have some people that you can reach out to. They may leave a job to come to you because of their relationship and how kind you've been. So the one is there. Don't give up. Just follow the process and know that you're going to have a great hire.
Awesome. Thank you so, so much for that. I have one last question for you though. Okay. I guess one more. How many interviews do you think you've conducted?
Oh.
Just pick a number.
I know over 1,000. It could be even more.
Yeah.
What's so interesting, I went from the cardiology office and I was being trained at the gastroenterology in their patient service center. And a couple of people are like, "You interviewed me. I know you, Fatima. I didn't know them.
Good thing you were nice. Good thing you were nice to them, right?"
Exactly. It's like, remember you interviewed me. So it was, you know, it was nice that I left it nice with them. And, you know, now I'm new.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so there, I'm special to them in a place where I'm unknown. So
that is so cool.
That was so interesting. I was like, that really made me think, oh my gosh, how many people have you interviewed?
Yeah. Well, so the reason why I asked is because I wanted people to get a feel for how much you've done this stuff. And, you know, and this is something that's tried and proven and it works. And so, you know, for every doctor listening, I know that HR can be hard, but it doesn't have to be that way, right? In EntreMD world, we learned that all business skills are learnable skills. So hiring is a learnable skill. So you can learn that, you know, and if you apply these principles, you end up with a team that is so much better and they will help you accomplish the goals that you have. So Fatima, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with us and for being on the show. And I'll be sure to get you on for another episode because this was so juicy. We have to do some more stuff.
Thank you so much, Dr. Una.
My pleasure. So there you go, people. So I want you to be kind to all the private practice doctors in your life and share this episode with them. Tell them you absolutely have to listen to this and, you know, leave us your aha moments. You can post them on social media and tag us hashtag EntreMD, and we'll see you on the next episode of the EntreMD podcast.
If you love this podcast, please take a moment to subscribe, share, and review it on iTunes. As you go about your week, remember, you're not just an MD, you're an EntreMD. Don't forget to tune in next week for another great episode. Until next time.